Blog Talk Radio.
Les Brown, renowned motivational speaker, entrepreneur, former House of Representatives, was doing a workshop in a college to show kids 17 and 18 years old of age how they make decisions and how they would survive. 30% of them wrote down as their first option to survive was to commit suicide. He was so shocked by the response, he asked them, "What do you mean?" The response was, "At least we won't have to suffer." Then Les says in typical Les fashion that they then had the nerve to write down all the other things they would do after they committed suicide. Les then brought up the point that making a permanent decision for a temporary problem, game over. So now, Angie, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Can you? Good evening. Exactly. Good evening. Good evening. I got
I
some good rest, so that's why.
No problem. What I'm going to need you to do, Angie, is to tell the folks where they are and what we're about to do. Let them know.
Okay. Well, first of all, I would like to say thank all of our listeners and those who are tuning in. Thank you for tuning in with into Conversations with A&A. And tonight's show is about fear and should you be scared. Once again, tonight's show is about fear and should you be scared. I'm your co-host, Angela, and also we have with our beautiful host, Avon. You may want to take out a pen and pad just to take some notes because Avon definitely drops a lot of knowledge and wisdom that you may want to remember or review your notes. So once again, I'm your co-host, Angela, and tonight's show is about fear and should you be afraid. Today's date is October 2nd, 2022, and we're doing an 8 o'clock show. The call-in number is 515-605-9322. Avon, you can take it away.
Thank you, my dear Angela. Yes, and you know, that was a very profound and shocking thing that Les had said with this anecdote that I had started the show off with earlier. And I want to let you guys know that I had a similar experience myself when I was working for the DOE. And in the classroom, I was an ed assistant. And all that is a paraprofessional with some college credits. So, you know, we were in the classroom, and this happened to be a reading lab. And the children were there. This was grades, I'd say, 5 through 8. And so this was like a middle school, junior high school. And, you know, it was a reading lab. And it was the kids were unruly. They were restless. The energy was, I just couldn't calm them down. So we were to have a regular reading lesson, but that wasn't to happen. So we couldn't go about business as usual. So I said, okay, let's do a writing assignment. So I had them write an essay. And the essay was about, what do you think or where do you want to be when you grow up? And a lot of the responses was, I grow up. If I make it, if I live, then I want to do that. And that's a very sad and a frightening thing to know that our children are going through at that early age, you know. So that is an early example of fear. So that I wanted to share, that was my own experience that I had similar to Les's. And then, you know, Les went on to say, a lot of us who have limited vision of ourselves allow ourselves to focus on the problems and enable them to overwhelm us. We begin to believe that we don't have options, that there is no way out. There is always a way out. And, you know, it just It takes me aback. And you just have to just sit still, and you need to sit in that for a minute and think about what is going on. Now, this, we're hearing what children think. So can you imagine what the adults are thinking and what the adults go through? So we're going to get into that today, and that's what today's show is going to be about. Now, Angela, remember, Angela and I have discussed this before. We've had these conversations before, and we spoke about the acronym FEAR. And Angela, you want to break down what FEAR stands for?
Well, I got the acronym from you. so that's number one. And I like it, the acronym, which you originally got for you. I like to give people credit when they, hit you up with some knowledge or give you, some information. So FEAR is false evidence appearing real. Evidence appearing real. I love it. I love it.
Very good. Very good. See, you were on it already. I wanted you to repeat that because I wanted them to hear that and to understand what is going on here. Now, let's break down FEAR, this false evidence appearing real. FEAR. The definition of FEAR is an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain, a threat. Again, FEAR. An unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain, or a threat. Now, the next word in this acronym is evidence. The available body of facts or information indicating whether a belief or proposition is true or valid. Again, the E in FEAR, which says evidence, means the available body of facts or information indicating whether a belief or proposition is true or valid. The next word, the A, stands for appear / appearing. Come into sight, become visible or noticeable, typically without visible agent or apparent cause. Again, appearing, come into sight, become visible or noticeable, typically without visible agent or apparent cause. And it also means to start to be seen or to be present. Now, the R, which is real, means actually existing as a thing or occurring in fact, not imagined or supposed, of a substance or thing, not imitation or artificial, genuine, something that is true and authentic, or something is very important or significant. Once again, the R, which is real, actually existing as a thing or occurring in fact, not imagined or supposed, of a substance or thing, not imitation or artificial, genuine, something that is true and authentic, or something is very important or significant. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the definition of the words that make up the acronym FEAR. False evidence appearing real. Now, I'm going to refer to some things and we're going to get into the different aspects of FEAR, how it shows up and how it would be apparent to us. Okay? Be strong, fear not. Fear is man's only adversary. You face defeat whenever you are fearful. And what are some of the most common things people fear? Fear of lack, failure, fear of loss, fear of personality, fear of criticism. Fear robs you of your power. This happens because you have disconnected from the universal power source. When you are fearful, you begin to attract the thing you fear. Why are ye fearful? Fearful, O ye of little faith. Again, that was, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? So this thing, it shows up in many ways. You hear the different, it shows up in the scriptures, it's presented in the scriptures. You hear people quote it in many different ways, this thing called fear. And again, it's the fear is you're feeling there's lack, there's failure, you're fearing loss of personality. And I'm sure criticism is, I'm sure many of us at some time or another in our lives have experienced one of these aspects of this thing called fear. And there's nothing to feel shame about. It's just, if we're real with ourselves, we all do feel it. But we all want to have this facade that we're tough. We got it all together. We got it all figured out. And, you know, that ain't got nothing to do with me. But that is not the case. If you ask many people, and which we will later on in this broadcast, we're going to ask people their thoughts of fear. Do they have any examples? Where have they seen it? You know, we're going to have that conversation. And one thing, because I'm going to say some things to you, and then I want you to pay attention, and I want you to notice some things. So I'm going to mention them, and then we're going to review it. We're going to go through it. You know, when I was younger and my grandfather on my paternal side, you know, he had asked the question to me. He said, what is the downfall of man? And I couldn't figure out for the life of me, the downfall, I don't know. What could that possibly be? And then he said these things to me. And I want you to listen to this, and I want you to think about this. He said, the downfall of man is perverted, uncurbed emotion and destructive acts. I'm going to say that again. The downfall of man is perverted thought, uncurbed emotion, destructive acts. Those uncurbed emotions will lead to destructive acts. Now, again, we need to break down and we need to understand the meaning of these things so that we're on the same page, so that we, when we converse, we're talking about the same thing. We have a similar understanding. Okay, perverted of a thing, having been corrupted or distorted from its original course, meaning, or state. Again, perverted of a thing, having been corrupted or distorted from its original course, meaning, or state. Now, uncurbed, not restrained or controlled. Again, the meaning of uncurbed, not restrained or controlled. Destructive, causing great, irreparable harm or damage. Again, destructive, causing great irreparable harm or damage. Now, do we have any examples of this downfall of man, or how these things, in order of perverted thought, these uncurbed emotions and destructive action? How about something that we're all familiar with and we hear about it in the news all the time? The example of the crime of passion. So what is it? How did that start? So you start with, if they say the downfall of man is perverted thought. So what is the thought? It is the thought is an impure thought. In this example, okay, the spouse, let's say, we won't say man or woman because it can go either way, that you have this thought in your mind that, I don't know about my person here. You know, I think that they're cheating on me. Well, because, you know, I've seen them, you know, they're talking to different people all the time and people are smiling up in their face. So, you know, I'm sure, no, I'm not mistaken about this. They're out here cheating. And then once you get that perverted thought, then you have these uncurbed emotions. You know, how dare they do this to me? After I gave myself 100% of me, I gave them my love, gave them the best years of my life. I've done this. I gave them kids, loved the kids. I did everything that I could to show my support and whatever. And this is how you're going to do me? Oh, I am upset now. This is beyond. I am sick of this. How dare they do this to me? I just can't. And then you have this, all these things going in this turmoil, turning up inside and down in you. And then the next thing you know, it gets to the point where it just blows your mind and you can't take it. And then what do? You snap. Then the next thing you know, you done killed somebody because those emotions got all out of control. But let's go back to it. What was the perverted thought? The thought was, first of all, your person that is not out there doing anything wrong to you, they're just going out there about their life. When you are out in the world, you talk to people. People come to you and say different things. But because there was something in you that was insecure, that was not right, that was not settled, then you started twisting things up in your head and you got this little twisted thought in your head. It had nothing to do with the truth, but that's what you thought it was. Through your experience, and it just got to be. And then you get yourself all worked up and you mad. Now you mad, and oh, somebody got to pay now. How dare they? And the next thing you know, you just lose it. And then somebody is gone because of that. And that is a big example of this destructive thought, this downfall of men. We see it in the news every day in some form, some aspect. We get to see this. So that is one example of the uncurbed, you know, the downfall of man. Now, I want to talk about thoughts and the power of thoughts. Now, you know, we hear, listen to these things. You hear these things every day. Those who are spiritual or into religion, they read your Bibles, you read your Quran, you read the Torah, you're into metaphysics, the universal thoughts, what have you. You hear these things. It may be phrased slightly different, but you'll recognize it. That in Genesis, you have in the beginning. Now, in the beginning, they're talking about how God had created everything in the world. And then the next thing you know, he said, let there be. I will call this such and such. You know, think about that. Those are words, and words are powerful because in the beginning, God, or however you want to call this superb, this infinite intelligence, the universal, however Allah, however you call it. I am not here to tell you how to call this entity in your life, but I'm here to say that it is a universal thought. And many people tap in and they believe in some sort of fashion, but they know that this omnipotent source, this entity, creates everything that there is. And then in Genesis, what they're saying is because of words, things came into being. And that's very important. So think about that. A word made things come into being. Now, what goes hand in hand with the word? A thought. Thought usually precedes the word, right? You have a thought in your head and then the word comes and follows it. So those two things go hand in hand and you have to be careful of your words. I'm sure you heard this. The power of life and death is in the tongue. By your words, you are confirmed or condemned. Your words do not come back void. Philippians 4, in nothing be anxious. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made unto God. Do you notice a pattern here? Being in control of your thoughts are of the utmost importance. Remember, these two things, thoughts and words, are of the utmost importance. Be careful how you use your words and your thoughts, because these things manifest into real things, things that are showing up in your life. You're saying, well, how did this get there? I didn't ask for this or whatever. Go back and think about your thoughts. There might have been something in those thoughts, or you said something. You may have been flip with it. You may not have been, you may have been silly with it, saying, this, and being joking and playful with it. However, these things have power. They are vibrational and they have power. It goes up and it comes back down to you and it manifests into things. So you want to be careful of this. Now, we've been trained and conditioned extremely well in being scared. Let's change our minds. Let's renew our minds. Let's begin to think and speak differently, more positively. You know what? Why? Did you ever think, why did we come here to Earth? What was the reason that we come here to Earth? Why are we here? We are here to prove, to demonstrate, exemplify success, happiness, abundance, health, and perfect self-expression. And these things, ladies and gentlemen, are the opposite of being fearful. Check that out. Let's say that again. We are here to prove, demonstrate, exemplify success, happiness, abundance, health, and perfect self-expression. And these things are the opposite of being fearful. Now, I want to ask you, just take a moment. What is your definition of faith? Angela, I want to ask you, do you have any thoughts on that? Do you have a definition for faith? What does faith mean to you?
Well, just mean believing in something that you can't basically see right now. That sums it up. You know, if to have faith, you know, there's no evidence that it's real, but you believe in your spirit, your innate abilities, or you just believe that what you're believing in or that what you want is, you can hold on to faith for that. So that's just my definition of it for right now.
That's correct. And guess what else? It's also been said that faith, it has already received and it acts accordingly. Faith knows it has already received and it acts accordingly. Now, I'm sure here's another thought. I'm sure you all may have heard this. Many of you heard this, if not all, many of you, and you heard it in some form or fashion. I will give to thee the land that thou seest. Of vision, my people shall perish. You can never do anything you cannot see yourself doing or fill a place you cannot see yourself filling. So, what does that look like? What would that look like? Angela, you got any thoughts on that? You got an example of what fearless faith would look like?
I have a couple of thoughts, but we have a couple of callers. You want me to take one of the callers and see what they have on fear, what they want to know about fear before we, get my input? You want me to...
I'm going to tell you what.
Just for the callers out there, tonight's show is about fear. Should you be afraid? So tonight's show, we're discussing is fair, and should you be scared? You know, we're living in a different time of life now. Many of us never seen what's going on now, from the economic shift and the spiritual shift and worldly shift. So I'm sure this has inspired you, Avon, to come up with this discussion tonight, as we have discussed before. So let's call us. We're going to take callers. Callers ended in 1111. Please let us know your thoughts. Where you coming from, calling from, and your name. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Caller.
Hello.
Yes, we hear you. We hear you. Who are we speaking to?
Caller hung up. I
think
he got disconnected.
I got you.
So once again, tonight's show is fair. Should you be scared? And there's many things to be scared of for many different reasons, because fear is not always a bad thing. Fear protects you. Fear stops you from burning yourself, hurting yourself, and doing things to other people, like fear of going to jail, fear of hurting someone, fear of, you know, there's a lot of fears, right, that's necessary, that you should be afraid of, right? But I'm sure you're talking about the unhealthy fears that we have that's not even there, that we inflict upon ourselves. And we, you know, we have all these emotions and ideas or whatever that we do to ourselves instead of what is actually there. So fear can, you know, fear has its place and its duality as well.
Exactly. And I want to put some more, like, starter thoughts out there for our listeners to think about. Okay, now I had asked a question earlier of an example of what does fearless faith look like. Now, how about, let's think, when I thought when this was brought to my attention, I said, that is absolutely correct. How about the performers in a circus? Think about that. They seem to do impossible things. Like things you look at them and say, oh my gosh, how in the world did they do that? And how do you think that they do it? You have any thoughts on that, Angela?
What? The
fearlessness of the circus performers. How do you think that they're able to do the seemingly impossible things that they do?
No, but like you always say, they tap in. You know, they tap into their own beliefs and their own intuition or what they believe in and what they feel they can do, and through practice. So there's a number of things, but, you know, you have to believe in yourself. So if you can believe it, you can achieve it, right? One of Les Brown's quotes. So you have to believe it. And then through practice and being confident, that you could achieve certain things. So that takes away a lot of fear. A lot of people is fear because they're fearful because they don't believe in themselves. They're not tapped into their own intuition, their innate abilities and desires and wants. So they attract more fear because they don't know what they want to do and what they like. They don't know. They're not tapped into their life and their higher spiritual powers. So they inject that fear on others. So it becomes fear and chaotic, and you're all over the place. So I believe, back to the question, is that, you know, that these people are confident because they practice. They're confident because this is something that they want to do, and which give the level of excellency while if you're watching a show or whatever. So, yeah, based on what you just asked me.
That is absolutely correct. Think they can, and they can see themselves doing it. And that's what we said before about the vision. You have to have a vision. You have to be able to see yourself doing these things. You have to know this. You have to see it. If you don't see it first, you don't know where to begin and where to start, or how that acts. you know, I mean, how that works there. So that is exactly correct. And here's some more things. Okay, let's see how happiness, how would happiness, I have to work my new teeth, okay? So my tongue is not working with the teeth. Let me stop. But happiness, it says, there can be no happiness where there is fear, apprehension, or dread. How can you be happy when you have these things, except that fear is there? And remember what we said fear is. So if you got all that going on, it definitely wouldn't show up that you're being happy. And how would fear show up in relationships such as love? It says, with love usually comes terrific fear. Many women at some stage of her life, they get the thought in her head that another woman will take her love. Guess what?
No, they don't say take your love. They think somebody's going to take their man. They just say it's not love. They don't think of love.
You're right, right. But listen. You're absolutely, that's the word. But I wanted to make it even broader. But yes, that's their man. But I just use, in general, the love. And that can work both ways for men as well. You know what I'm saying? Because they have that fear. But that's a, where is the evidence of it? You come into it and get to this place. Where did this come from? This is from something else. It's not necessarily something that's factual or that's happening, but it's just some uncontrollable thought that permeates your whole thought process, your whole existence, and then it gets to that downfall of man, right? You got a perverted thought. And then you let those emotions start fueling your stuff. And then the next thing you know, you're doing that destructive action. And, you know, as long as you see an interference, guess what? It will come. As a man thinketh in his heart, so there he is. These, again, I cannot stress it enough. You have to control your thoughts and your words, because you will cause chaos for yourself where there need not be. You understand what I'm saying? So then we can go on and on. I wish we had some more callers to call in, because I wanted to share these thoughts with them and see what they think about it. But Let's go.
Okay, we do have another caller, Avon. So let me just, I just want to express the rules of the show for callers who are waiting to get into queue or in the chat. Please be respectable, speak clearly, and when I call on your number, please state your name and the city and state that you're calling from, and to make a comment in reference to this show. So fear, should you be scared, okay? Once again, Avon is the host, and I'm the co-host, Angela. The call-in number is, once again, is 515-605-9322. So, Avon, do you want me to take a caller?
Yes, let's take a call.
Okay. I have chat, but I don't know how to get in chat yet. So I'm going to go back to call up ending in 1112. Please state your name and the city and state that you're calling from, whether you have a comment or a question. Hello, caller?
Hello?
Yes, hello, caller. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, caller. You live?
Hey. Hey. Kill your motherfucking self.
Okay. Wow. So this is something. So that's a call, a perfect example of how fear, should you be afraid? So that's an example of that. And no, we should not be afraid. That's someone obviously hurt. So I'm sorry. But go ahead, Avon.
Exactly. Well, you know, do we have another caller? Yes, we do.
No.
Yes, we do. Ending in 5748. Oh, no, the call just dropped. We did have a call calling in. But, yeah, that's okay. We see a call ending in 7912. You want to take that one, Angela?
Hello?
Yes, hello, caller. Yes. Ended in 7912.
Hi,
yes,
my name is Denise Clark. I'm calling for Columbia, South Carolina, and I am a new listener to the show, and I think fear is on a daily complex every day. It depends on how you receive it and how you put it, you know, to, you know, and give it out. So.
That's all I just got to say about that. Well, we appreciate you calling, Denise, and we appreciate you listening to the show, and we like your input there. So please continue to listen. We enjoyed having you.
All right. You enjoy your evening.
All right. You do the same. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So as you can see, you know, it's fear is a big topic. It's a big topic out here, and you know, and you see it show up in all sorts of ways. Now, what with the last caller, not Denise, the caller before, ending in the 41s. Let's think about this. That was a perfect example of the downfall of man. Do you remember what that was, Angela? The downfall of man?
You, as you mentioned it, uncurbed emotions.
What was the first? What was the first one? Where did it start with?
You mentioned uncurbed emotions. I know that. And
right. A perverted thought. That's where we start, right?
Perverted thought. Right, right.
A perverted thought. Now you have a thought that was. It is sort of twisted, and it goes against the norm. It is not a normal pattern or way of thinking. And then you have the uncurbed emotions, and then the person, like I said, they get worked up. Their spirit is worked up to the point that they become uncontrollable, inconsolable. There's nothing that you can say or do to stop it, that they have to go through this process. And then the next thing you know, those uncurbed emotions lead to a destructive act. You must control those emotions. That is part of mastering self. You have to master your mind, have control of those thoughts and those words you use. You will be confirmed or you will be condemned by those words and those thoughts. They do not come back void. I don't know any other way to say this, how strongly I can say this. If you get nothing else from this broadcast, people, control those thoughts and words. The thoughts that we expressed this evening and the things that we're talking about, guess what? You're going to hear this again on other broadcasts, not in fear, but you're going to see it in other aspects of life because all of these things are connected. And that's one of the things that we need to know and we're going to learn as we go through future broadcasts. You're going to hear things. When we are taught and when we learn in school, we learn, we have this compartmentalized learning. You have a foundation, and as you go up in the grades, you build on it. You build on the foundation. But remember, foundations, just like in buildings, they need to be strong and firm and sturdy, because it has to hold up everything that comes after and what's built upon that. So you want to watch these thoughts. And getting back to the compartmentalized learning, we learn things in separate and apart in bits and pieces. So we got English, we have math, we have science, we have social studies, economics, whatever else. You're taught these things separately. But one of the dangerous things and what's been happening, especially for our folks, melanated people, is that we are holistic people. And we see things and we process things as a whole. And that is one of the things that got us, is because everything was taught separately, but no one reminded us at the end that you got to put it back together to make it one thing. It's a whole thing. And if you got bits and pieces, you cannot fully function or understand or operate out of the bits and pieces. You have to know how to put it together. Think of it. I love to use the analogy of what do you call these things, Angela? The Transformers. You know, each of them are strong and they got their talents separate and apart. But when they come together, they become one. They become even greater. We got to become one. We have to know how to put ourselves back together and become whole. A lot of us are broken, and we are not whole right now. We're in pain. We're in hurt. We're fearful because we don't understand our power. You don't know who you are. When Angela and I have discussions and we talk all the time, we're on a prayer line as well. We always talk about, I lost my train of thought. What do we always talk about, Angela? What do we talk about? Where was I?
Everything. We always talk about everything, and specifically fear. You know, we talk about life in general, the solution and causes of life, and how to respond to those things, and just lifting yourself up to a higher level of thinking and consciousness. You know, that's the ultimate goal, is being the best person that you can be. You know, raising your spirit, you know, raising your energy, and allowing lower level thinking and situations and negative people take root in your spirit. So we talk about, those are some of the things that we talk about out of many things.
Yes, and it comes back to me now what it is. We always talk about what else? Self-work. Do not think that you're going to come down here and manifest on earth and think that you're just here to take up space. Look, you can do that if you like, but guess what? There are consequences for all that you do. Good, bad, indifferent, you do something, you don't do something, but there is a consequence to every action that you have. When you come here, you have to do self-work. As human beings, however, spirit entities, however you call and name yourself, that is up to you. You decide how you call yourself and who you answer to, how you answer to what you are called. You have to do self-work. So you're going to hear principles in different aspects or whatever, and you're going to see a pattern. You're going to see it run through everything that we talk about. Anything in the world, you're going to hear a lot of similarities that go in there, because why? It's part of a whole. All of these things are connected. They're not separate and apart. And the sooner we realize that and understand the connections, then we're going to see a whole lot of other things. Another thing that we say all the time is tapping in, being connected. What is that? That's when you get to the point, and what I'm describing now, these are some of the things that you can do that help with this fear, this false evidence appearing real. there are times when you have to be still. You have to quiet your mind down and just be in the stillness. And then when all that noise in your head quiets down and calms down, certain things are going to come to the fore. And you're going to get a thought, or you're going to hear something, do this, or, and then you say, okay. So when that happens, investigate it. Okay, so what does this mean? Ask the questions, and then as you ask and go more in depth, you're going to get the answers. Ask for the answers. Call for the answers, and you will get the answers that you so desire. I'm going to hold off for a minute because I see that we have another caller, Angela. You see it on the board?
Yeah, I see another caller. Hold on. Caller, ended in 5306. Please state your name and your number. State your name and the city and state that you're calling from. Tonight's topic is about fear. Should you be scared? Caller?
All right. My name is Shakia. I'm calling from Bronx, New York.
Hi, Shakia.
Hi. My question is, a lot of us were brought up in fear. You know, we're instilled fear in us, whether it's by parents and then when we grow up in a relationship that we have, like, you know, by a partner. So, like, how do we control our fear, you know, like, not be fearless, you know, by the thoughts of other people?
Oh, that's a great question. That's a great question. And, you know, I say this to you. That's what we were getting into, of learning to be still. Being still, sometimes being still is, you can just sit somewhere, sit where it's quiet or whatever, or go for a walk. Anything that can initially take you away from that prevalent thought, that prevailing thought that, oh, this is going on and this is so bad, whatever, you have to practice, get in the practice of quieting it down. And that's going to take practice. So you have to be still. And then it's going to come to you. Your heart may start racing, or it's just all these things. And then you just have to start with breathing. Breathe yourself through it and just calm down. You got to calm down first. And then the thought's going to say, well, so what? Then you ask yourself, so what am I afraid of? And then you have to know, in this mindset, when you're in your own head, in your own mind, you can be as honest as you want. You don't have to share your thoughts or answers with anybody else. You understand what I'm saying? This is in your own closet. This is when you can connect with the ultimate intelligence, your God, Allah, you know, Yeshua, whoever you want, universe, whoever that infinite intelligence is, you want to connect to that and listen. And as you're quiet and then you're asking questions, there's going to be thoughts, or something's going to come into your mind or something. And sometimes you say, well, what the heck is that? What does that got to do with it? But don't ignore it. Listen to it. And then and then what we were talking about, the self-work, you know what that is? That's when there's a lot of things that you don't know. So that's when you do your homework. Find out, you want to learn who you are and what your connection is to this greater source. You know what I'm saying? This high vibrational entity. You want to know how to get that connection. So you do your reading, you listen to people that have similar things. You're gonna start. Since you have that desire that you ask, you connect to that greater inner source, and then you ask, I need help. I need answers. Tell me in no uncertain terms, what is that for me to do? What should I do? Where do I start and where do I begin? And then because you ask that earnestly and remember, just having that conversation, asking a question, do you know that's a prayer? That's what a prayer is. It's a conversation with that higher intelligence. Okay? So.
Yes.
You do, this is how you start. And whatever it is, and then sometimes, you know, we get so frantic and upset. You find whatever it is that can help calm your mind, to quiet your mind down. Maybe it's a song that just puts you in a peaceful state. What you want to learn to do is to get to that peaceful state as quick as possible. It doesn't matter what it is. I would not suggest self-medicating. That's let me be clear. Let me put that out there. But mostly anything else we do out here, we can. Just go for a walk. Go watch a TV show. Look at a movie that brings you joy, that brings you peace. Look at your children. Get a hug from somebody. Share love with somebody. And then you see that it will be returned to you. So the thing is to get connected. And that's what we call that also. I call it tapping in. So like I said, you just go inward and then you tap in. All of the answers and things that you need are within. And then what we have to learn is, and the great teachers are the ones that know how to bring what's within, bring it without. So you do that. And then once you learn to tap in, then you will find yourself in alignment. Once you're in alignment, things will, that means that, things line up. And then things will work better. So when things are all out of position and what have you, things cannot work as efficiently as you would like it. So you want to quiet the mind. So some people call that meditation. You know, all that is to quiet the mind and the spirit. And then you ask your questions. You have your prayer. You have your conversation. And ask for what you want. You have not because ye ask not. You have to ask. And then once you put that out into the universe, the atmosphere, you will see the answers start to come to you. And then you have to believe that. Now listen, we've learned to believe all the horrible things that can happen to us, all the bad things that can happen to us in life. How about we just flip the switch and think of all the good things? You know, say to myself, you know what? Yeah, I see that these things, I've gone through some things and, you know, I've learned that, I understand that, I got that, but you know what? I want to try it another way. Let's do something different this time. I want to be happy. Mm-hmm. So let me do the things that bring me joy. And then you have to call that in your mind. You have to claim that for yourself. You have to claim it, and then you take it. We were speaking about this earlier on the prayer line. We talk about call it. You got to call it in. And then once you call it, you claim it. And once you claim it, that brings it down into manifestation. So you got this, and you're here. And if I say this to you, if you want to speak more, we can speak offline. You have my number, because you can call me. But did I answer your question somewhat, or do you have any more questions?
No, you answered my question, yes. Meditation, that's key, yes.
Absolutely. You just got to quiet those thoughts because it will, yes, guess what? You know what that is from what we were talking about earlier? That's another aspect of the downfall of man, that perverted thought. When all these things go in your mind and you know that the thought is off, whatever, so you want to calm yourself down and get it correct. So if that's the downfall of man, the perverted thoughts, the uncurbed emotions, and the destructive actions, so you know you need to do the opposite. So you need to get that thought correct, control that thought, and then be in control of your emotions, and guess what? You'll have a better outcome, a more pleasing outcome for you.
Yes. So. Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome, my love. So you take care. Thank you for calling in.
Of course. Peace and love, sisters, and many blessings.
Thank you so much. Thank you as well. Amen.
Thank you for calling. All right. I mean, if you want to hold on, I could have just put it on hold.
Okay.
All right. Good analysis.
Well, thank you. Thank you. You know, it's It's real out here. And, you know, just look at our world today. You just see it's just out of order. Things are all over the place. Things is just totally out of alignment. You see people that are disconnected. They are not tapped in at all. You understand what I'm saying? So you got this chaos that's going on here. And, you know, some people are going to survive this, and then there are going to be some that do not. And that is a simple fact. And the thing is, the difference in you decide which side you want to be on is you need to decide that you want to make it, that you want to be connected, you want to be tapped in. You understand what I'm saying? Because in all of this, you have a choice. You have a choice in this. So, you know, what can I say? What can I say? So, you know, and the other thing is, those that know, you have to be an example for those that don't. You got to share whatever. Now, another thing that we speak about all the time is, you know, role modeling actions and thoughts of what the points that you want to get across. You know, Angela, you want to discuss how we were talking about the different ways of learning and how people learn and what is one of the best ways of teaching something or getting a message across?
Well, one of the ways of getting your message across and teaching others, and for this instance, is fear. Is being, like they would say in the streets, being about that life. You know, if you walk it, you have to do your best to walk it. And not just for others, you know, you have to be a place in your life where you have to know what you want. And to answer, you know, what Denise called, what's her name, Denise, right? The third caller?
Right, Denise, yes. The last caller was Shakia. And Denise was
right. She mentioned how your family and, you know, people, community, family play a role in, you know, in your life, which could bring up fear. And how you combat that is first, like you said, knowing what you want and how does that look. And then you begin to live it. Not because somebody else said it, that's the way you should live. It's just being about your own life, going about your own business. And then there's someone else who's going to like what you're doing or like how you live or just like you as a person. And they will want to be around you. They will want to bring joy and happiness in your life because they see you about a certain lifestyle that they want to share. But a lot of times we do the opposite and we get attracted to people, ideology, things, ideas or, you know, situations that contrary to what we really want. And then that's where fear comes in at. Now you're afraid of that which you got entangled with and or what you thought it was, and now you're afraid. You know, you want to try to control it, but you're the one that's out of control. So to answer your question, you have to be about your life. Like mind your business, because in minding your business to perfect yourself, because perfecting yourself is a lot of work. Okay, it's a lot of work. So, and it's a daily journey. Okay, so by you doing that, you will attract certain people in your life that you don't have to alter. You know, imagine if you meet 30 people and you had to change your way for 30 people. No. Be your divine self. Be true to yourself. And then those who like your style, who like you as a person, who understand you, who have no qualms about you, they will automatically listen to you, follow you, support you, or whatever the case is. You know, you don't have to, it's not a fight there. It's not, you know, it's not an argument. But when we try to get others and force them into our world, that's when it's a problem. So basically just be you. Do you. Be an example of what you want for your own life. It's not about other people. It's not about posting and getting likes. It's what you like for yourself.
Ashe to that.
And then,
Ashe. No, continue, continue. I just wanted to say I'm in agreement with that one.
I was watching Jesse Diamond on Netflix, and at the end, and they were showing how he had how he actually had a fan club, a fan base. I'm like, wow. And even though he didn't initially set out to that because he felt lonely, right? He was living in fear. He felt lonely. He felt abandoned. And all these things, you know, that he, these emotion, uncurbed emotions that was going through him that obviously was uncurbed because it hurt other people. He had a fan base. Now, he didn't initially set out for a fan base, right? That wasn't his goal, but he got that because even though that's negative, there were some people out there that liked his style. And I know it may it sound crazy, right? But it just go to show you, you do, while you doing what you doing, whether it's negative, positive, or whatever, because your negative might seem positive to someone else. My positive might be negative to someone else, okay? It depends on your level of energy and your level of consciousness. So he actually attracted people who had that same frame of mind or those thoughts. And they related to him. So should be it with you. If you live your best life, if you live your life and through all that you learn and what you know to be true for yourself, people will follow. You wouldn't have to, you know, hit your chest and say, I'm a leader or anything. People will follow because they like something about you, your uniqueness.
Absolutely. It is. It's just, you know, it's you when you just sit back and just listen and reflect, you can find out a lot of things by just listening. And I like to fancy myself an observer of life. I find myself in my head an awful lot. Sometimes people have to come in there and pull me out and get me out. But it's just, I'm just fascinated with this thing called life, and I want to understand why people think the way that they do. I honestly want to know. When you say something, I want to know, well, why do you say that? When we talk, that's how we speak all the time. So why you say that? What you mean by that? And, you know, I think that would be a good practice for everybody. You know, we know that we're busy and we go about our days and what have you, but sometimes stop. And when you can tell, or I can feel, when somebody wants to talk and whatever, then sometimes you got to open the way or have a way about to show that you're open and willing to speak. Because I find, and we know this to be true, everybody on the face of this earth wants to be recognized and for you to see them and know they want to know that they count and they mean something to someone. Everybody wants that. And then sometimes just looking at somebody and smiling, That connection is so deep, you cannot even begin to understand that that can save someone's life. You are reaching them on a spiritual level, on a high, you want to be on a high vibrational level so that, you know what, we exchange energy just by being around each other. You'd be surprised what's going on in a world that's unseen and unbeknownst to many people. There's always a connection. And then people, sometimes they need your energy to get along, to help them through. It doesn't mean all the time that you got to stop and give up your life so that someone else, but recognize, connect. Just that quick second, that energy, you'll be surprised. It can renew, it can revive somebody. It can help them want to go on. You can save someone's life. Sometimes a hug, a touch, a look, a word, a smile means so much. and it can help people in such a profound way. So I say, people, just take the time. This is the second. You got smile. And like you said, be about that life for yourself. Be in that energy, and then people, remember, okay, let's do the example of the story about the woman who touched Jesus' garment. Remember that one? You wanted to discuss that one?
I'm still here. You said the story about when the lady touched his garment.
Yeah, what happened? What did he say? What was going on? Because I want folks to see that analogy.
Oh, okay. Oh, and how it deals with fear?
No, not fear, but just in general about energy and what I'm just talking about just now, about how people relate and how energetic-wise, how we help feed each other. We help each other live. That's what I'm talking about.
Or die. Either way, right? The thing is that with the story of Jesus with the lady, the reason why it was, it does deal with fear, because if anyone knows the scriptures back in times, you know, it was a lady who had an issue with blood and she was bleeding a lot. And back in the day, if you're familiar with ancient times, you was considered unclean as a woman. You was considered unclean. You couldn't go to the temple. You know, everything had to be washed behind you or sanitized. So when she went to grab on Jesus' garment, she went to, you know, before that, they mentioned how she went to numerous doctors and healers and that they couldn't heal her. But when she heard Jesus preaching, you know, and talking, in a certain town, she went and she followed, and she, you know, seen a multitude of people. But through all those people, she was just able, okay, and I'm paraphrasing, she was just, you know, saying to herself, I can just touch his garment. I don't even need to be in his face, you know. She touched his garment, and when she touched his garment, he noticed the energy from her. You know, he noticed that someone, he kept saying, who touched me? He touched me. Even though she touched the hem of his garment. So it was energy there. But also, she should have been afraid, considering the customs of that time. You know, you touching someone, especially Jesus, you touching him and you unclean, that wasn't cool. Okay? And I don't know if she was bleeding at that time, but I know she was going through issues of that, right? So by her touching him, you know, that could have been an issue if she was, you know, bleeding. So she did, you know, out of faith that, yo, this is the healer. He's the real deal. So she showed an enormous amount of courage in the face of fear. You know, he could have rejected her. Anything could have happened. You know, the multitude of people could have stampeded her, whatever the case is. But she did it in spite of all the negative that could have rooted in her mind. Oh, yeah.
So would you say that was an example of fearless faith?
Yeah, that was fearless. Fearless faith. Being, you know, being persistent in the face of adversity and believing, you know. And that's believing is the opposite of fear. You know, but in spite of fear, you should do things. The fear doesn't mean that you stop or you don't do something. You do it in spite of, regardless, you do it in spite of.
Correct. That is absolutely correct. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is also that should inspire you in your mind that you need to get that fearless, and that you need to know that she was trying to save herself, and that she knew she didn't even have to touch the man himself. She just knew, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. So that is that was a strong thought strong thought and word. She was in control of her thoughts. And she believed in them, and that helped her to move forward. We need to get to a point like that in life to be fearless. And you'd be surprised when you continue to understand, once you get more understanding, understanding, you can decipher these codes and understand what's going on here. And then you will recognize your power. And that's the other thing. Because you don't know who you are, you don't know what you can do. That's why we got to do the self-work. You ask me any question in the world, how do you do this and how do you get to that? My answer will be, do the self-work. Angela knows this because when we talk, everything that we talk about, she asks this, what I tell her, self-work. I tell her, no matter what you ask me, I'm going to tell you the same answer time and time again. And again, what I want to remind everyone is whatever we talk about, whatever, remember, it's building on what was said before. Don't forget it. Don't think, oh, this conversation is about fear, and then what we were talking about the other time was something separate. All of these things go together. It builds. It's like pieces to a puzzle. So know that everything is connected, and it's all going to be part of making a one whole thing. So connections. I will say that all the time as well. You have to make connections. You're going to start hearing things, whatever. Oh, that reminds me of this. I remember when this was said, this is an example of that. Learn to put pieces together. And it's not going to be that hard. You already, listen, you have everything that you need inside of you already. You just have to bring it out. You have to remember these things. And how you do that, you got to do the work. You got to do the self-work. You can't get away. Look, that goes for me too. I can sit here before you and tell you all these things. And let me tell you, I have moments as well. And it's just like, oh my God, what am I doing? Why am I here? What's happening? What's going on? Why? I do it as well. But when I get tired of whining and realize ain't nobody listening and nobody care, then I get myself together and then start doing the work. So that I don't know how different a way that I can say it. You got to do the work. Anything worthwhile, it takes some work to do it. The thing is, you have to want to do it. You are a creator. Yeah, that's right. You are a creator in this life. You make things happen. You're a little G. You're God. You're a God. Goddess. You have the power to do these things. You have the power to manifest. Jesus said it too. You can do what I can do and greater. He is one of the greatest metaphysicians that there are out here. The Bible, acronym, meaning basic instructions before leaving Earth. They have clues, keys, different things. They're coded. But you have the key. Take the time to try to lock and open up things and see what it is. Make your connections. Tap in. Get yourself in alignment. You have the answers. You got to search for them. You got to pull them out. You have to pull them out and remember. So, with that, I would say, Angela, you check the boards. Do we have any more callers?
No, we don't have any more callers.
Okie dokie. Do you have any more thoughts that you would like to share with our audience?
No, I mean, basically, it's all what you have always been saying about tapping in, you know? Like you always say, it's about tapping in and being and knowing who you are. See, if you know who you are, you won't feel a need to be afraid. You won't feel a need of controlling others or hurting or harming others. You won't be in fear. That's all fear. Fear is false evidence appearing real. So you feel out of control. Fear could come in all sorts of different ways. Fear of sickness, fear of money, fear of, you know, lack, like you mentioned earlier. So, but if you tapped in and know who you are and confident of that, then you don't, those things don't fear you. You're not afraid. You know, you live your life and as fearless as possible. So, yeah.
Amen to that. Amen to that. So I want to say to our listening audience, thank you so much for joining in, sharing your thoughts with us, listening. We hope you come back and continue the ride with us. I want to thank my wonderful co-host, Angela. You know, we did it, girl. We're doing it. And, you know, and we got to continue to get the word out. So I want you to know that I appreciate you. And
thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of this. I appreciate you as well and all the wisdom and knowledge that you have given me over the years. So thank you.
Anytime, anytime. And I want to leave us all with these words. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You must know the truth. And there is no truth in fear. Good night, everybody.